Hello, beautiful being. Welcome back to Love, Sex, and Magic with me, your host, Mel Wells. And today's episode is with Sarah Jenks. As a mother of three, a woman who has struggled with body image and a lack of direction, Sarah knows what it's like to feel flat, overwhelmed, frumpy, and exhausted. Through her own transformation and years of study in the sacred feminine, emotional eating, and life coaching, she's guided thousands of women for over 10 years through the process of remembering their brilliance and their unique mission in this lifetime. Sarah is the founder of the online course and community Whole Woman and the upcoming program Modern Marriage. So in this episode, we talk all about transforming your marriage, going from the old paradigm of the construct of marriage to what marriage can be in this day and age. We talk about bringing the sacred into your family, bringing magic into your children's lives, and just how we can start to bring these spiritual practices into our home a lot more. So I absolutely loved this conversation, especially if you are a mom, especially if you are married or in a long-term partnership, you are going to absolutely love this episode. So let's dive in. Sarah Jenks, welcome to Love, Sex, and Magic.
Thanks for having me, Mel. I'm so happy to be here.
Honestly, a pleasure. Mm-hmm. And just thank you. Thank you for coming to Miami.
Oh my gosh, you're so welcome. Yes. What a treat.
Thank you for coming to Miami just a few weeks ago when I was going to record this podcast and you flew in, but I had just been through this womb, this operation on my, getting a cyst removed from my ovary, and you still came and we went for dinner and you just were so sweet. Aww. So just thank you for just still coming and being a friend to me.
Of course. I'm just so happy to be, just to be invited and to deepen in with you and get to know you, and everything you have going on is amazing. So happy to be part of it.
Yeah. And we've both been through some pretty big health things recently. Yeah,
we have.
Yeah. And I remember, like, I was sharing with you, like, this having the cyst removed from my ovary felt like such a big initiation for me, and has, like, led me so deep into, like, womb work. And I'm only, like, you know, a month in, but it feels like this is just the start of, like, a really beautiful, deep, like, another layer of working with the divine feminine and going deeper into my womanhood. And you were sharing that you've had something similar.
In July, I went into the hospital with a complete heart block, which basically means that three of my four heart ventricles had shut down because of Lyme disease. And I didn't know. I just thought I had I didn't know what I had, the flu. And so I had to be on IV antibiotics for a week in the hospital to kill the Lyme in order for my heart to come back. But I had a similar thing where it was like a big sign pointing to my heart and to really look at, am I truly in my heart? And have I been utilizing this, this energy center in my body in the way that I need to? And I've just been really looking at, like, all these ways that we're dying alive. And, you know, we're in such a time of death right now. And I know so many people, especially spiritual women, who are having major health issues just in the past 6 to 9 months. And I had this sort of funny, I think I told you about this at dinner, but I had this funny moment in the hospital where I was going into a deep vision space. I was trying to be so connected to my spiritual center when I was there, because I was there for a week and I also didn't have a lot to do, you know?
Yeah.
And so I was doing a lot of work with Mary Magdalene, but one time when I was trying to connect with Mary Magdalene, Jesus came in. And I was like, Jesus, what the F is going on with this? And he's like, sorry, you know, I just can't conjure a lion in the middle of Massachusetts in 2021. And there are no deserts to walk through anymore. So this is what we've got for initiations, hospitals, health problems.
Yes.
And I'm like, okay, you're hilarious. And I just really took the opportunity to look at everything. Mm-hmm. And it happened after a lot of loss in my life. I've had a lot of loss since then. Mm-hmm. But when we have a spiritual practice, we have this opportunity to understand the cycles of life and death.
Yeah.
And I've just been really looking at all the ways I'm dying alive and all the things that are being reborn.
Mm. Wow. It's so beautiful. And yeah, like when people are dying, they're wishing that they'd lived more. They're
exactly.
wishing that they'd spent more time with their family. They're wishing that mm-hmm. they had really, really cherished mm-hmm. the time that they had not worked so much or not
exactly.
kind of numbed out so much. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I absolutely love about you and about following you and being a part of your world online is you're a mum. Mm-hmm. You're a mum of three.
Yes.
And the way that you bring sacred practices mm-hmm. and rituals into the home is so inspiring. Oh. And I always look and I'm like, oh, that's the kind of mum that I want to be,
you know,
because it's just so, it's reminding them of where they've come from.
Mm-hmm.
And something that I always say is wild women are just little girls that didn't stop believing in magic.
Yes, it's so true.
And it feels like you've just woven this magic into the home and they're getting mm-hmm. this childhood full of magic. So mm-hmm. I'd love to hear, like, was this like your intention, like when you became a mom, or is this something that has like gradually come in?
It's something that's gradually come in. So for me, I grew up in a Christian home. I loved going to church. It was one of my favorite things. I had an amazing minister. We were very close. It was all positive and great. And there was no sacred feminine anything, you know, in my life. You know, I grew up outside of Boston, very Puritan culture. It still is in a lot of ways. And I started discovering the sacred feminine through my teacher, Elaine Kalila Dowdy, when I was pregnant with Marshall. So I started seeing her in therapy, and she was my therapist for a while. And one time I just walked into her therapy office and she hadn't put away the back jacks from the ceremony the night before. Mm. And there was purple velvet on the curtains and incense burned down and beautiful images of goddesses. And I just started weeping in the wow. middle of her home where she had therapy. And from there, I just had this pull. It was like a remembering mm-hmm. of a remembering of being in circle of women, a remembering of temple space, a remembering of embodiment and talking about goddess archetypes and all of this stuff. So this was all happening while I was pregnant with my son. And none of my kids were planned. I was married, but we thought we would wait many more years because my husband was a surgical resident at the time. So it started to be woven into my life. And then I always thought that I would be a stay-at-home mom. And when I had my son, I couldn't be a stay-at-home mom because Jonathan was in residency, and so I had to support us. But I found myself really wanting to do my work in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I had this whole inner conflict around what if I'm not this way of being a mom, like the more traditional way of being a mother, am I a bad mom? You know, if I want to have a career, if I want to sort of break the rules, what does it mean for me to be a mother? And what are the things that are going to be important to me in terms of like what I want my kids to remember about me if it's not that like I'm going to be there every second of the day completely devoted to them? And so I slowly started to realize that my mission, not only in life, but as a mother, is to help my children remember
yes.
their divinity and our lineage, which is a lineage connected to the earth, a lineage connected to the sacred feminine that has been forgotten in many of our family lines. And so I spend so much time educating them about what it means to be a witch. and what it means to be a priestess and what it means to be a mystic. And, you know, we track the moon and we do ceremony together. And you know, the reason why I think it's so important to talk about this is that I keep it really simple. And like, we have a very like normal life. Like my kids go to public school. We live outside of Boston. We're like in a traditional suburb. Mm-hmm. Like we don't live in Bali and like are doing this stuff. I really want people to understand that it doesn't matter what our life may look like on the outside, that we can always bring in these practices that can feel fringy or weird to our children. And I've just also noticed that a lot of, you know, we've been brainwashed to hide these practices because we've been ostracized and tortured and killed for centuries for having them. And so we will unconsciously also hide them from our children or hide them from our partners.
Yeah.
And so I've just really been on a mission to normalize what would it look like to do a full moon circle with your kids? Mm. You know, what does it look like to, in the winter holidays, do a solstice ceremony? And also my husband is Jewish, so we celebrate solstice, Hanukkah, and Christmas in our home.
Wow.
And it's so fun to like mix it all together. And and my kids are so, you know, like they'll go to school and ask people what their birth chart is. They'll be like, what's your moon in? And they're like, what are you talking about?
What is your moon in? I love that.
You know, the other day we had a family over for dinner and Annabelle was talking about something and she was like, yeah, well, in my last life, blah, 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 blah. And they were like, what do you mean your last life? And she's like the life before this one. And they were like, just confused.
Wow.
But I love it. I think it's great.
Amazing. Yeah. And I want to know like has your husband always been on the same page as you? Was that like a journey? And because I hear so many women in from my community, they'll say like, I feel like I'm living two lives. I'm living this spiritual life with all my, you know, my online community and my tribe of wild women and witches. And then I'm living this other life at home with my husband and kids who I can't bring it into their world.
Yep.
So like, what was Jonathan's experience of this like when you guys met? Were you both on the same page or has it been like an unfolding?
So Jonathan, I met in college. And he was a football player and I was like a party girl. So we were very different than we are now when we met. And it was probably 5 to 6 years into our relationship where I discovered meditation. And then I discovered personal growth. And he was extremely threatened by how quickly I was growing by the ideas that I was starting to have, and especially by my big dreams. He was petrified that he was not going to be able to live up to my dreams.
Or keep up with you.
Or keep up with me.
Yeah.
And so to him, me changing was this like really triggered this fear that I would leave him. And so instead
Which does happen a lot.
It does happen a lot.
A lot of the time women are growing, they're on this spiritual journey before their partners.
Yep.
And then we hear it all the time. It's like, well, he wasn't willing to, he wasn't open. He wasn't willing to grow with me.
Exactly.
He wasn't able to support me. And this is what ends a lot of relationships, you know?
And this is exactly why we created Modern Marriage, is to solve this specific problem. Mm. So Jonathan was petrified I was going to leave him. And instead of growing himself, he tried to hold me back. And so there was a lot of sabotaging. Wow. There was a lot of like, I would go away on a retreat and like come home to the house and he would sort of like undermine the stuff that I was learning or just like be really grumpy about something. And it was just, it was awful. Mm. But I just knew that Jonathan was my soulmate. And I knew that the way he was acting was not him.
Right.
It was our culture. It was his own internalized patriarchy. It was his own brainwashing. And, you know, he was a resident and, you know, the medical system is messed up. And he was being like pretty beat down in his program and not able to really think outside the box or think for himself. So we hung in there and we did the best that we could. And I finally got Jonathan to go to therapy. And it's been a long process over many years to just have Jonathan be on his own journey of growth and awakening and understanding his own spiritual practice and his own relationship with his faith. Mm-hmm. And so he really needed to cultivate that on his own. Mm-hmm. And now that he has, it's so rich and wonderful to be with a man who has a spiritual practice that's in alignment with mine. And so we really are now spiritual leaders in our family together. And we have different roles and we do different things. But, you know, I just really decided, you know, I'm a Gemini rising, so I'm here to break the rules. And, you know, I saw so many people around me, just as you explained, where, you know, there's this whole thing around like, just stay in your lane. Your partner's going to do what they're going to do. Just focus on yourself, have your own life. And I'm like, you know, I don't want my life to be separate. I want the best parts of my life to be in my home with my husband and my kids. I don't want that to be the place where I have to hide. Yeah. And like, women have had to hide who they are in their homes for centuries. Mm-hmm. And I am just over it.
Right.
I'm just so over it. And I'm so glad that women have these communities like the Goddess Collective. And I have a similar membership called Whole Woman, where they can practice. I call it coming out of the broom closet and being themselves and feeling community with women. I think we do have to start there, but it can't end there.
Right.
I really think that like the deepest, most profound transformational work I have done has been in my marriage.
I was just about to say, you've just taken the words out of my mouth. I was going to say, I believe our deepest spiritual work is in our own home.
Yeah. You and know? I have done a lot of work, like really hard, dark night of the soul, you know, deep spiritual work, major initiations. Mm. And the hardest path that I have walked is like forging a place for me to be fully myself inside of my family.
Beautiful. Mm-hmm. I just know that there's people listening that are in the position where they feel separate from their husband or from their family or from their partner. And like, what do you think is like the first thing that they can start to do? First of all, with their marriage. So I know you have a program called Modern Marriage, which seems to reinvent the old ideas of what marriage is. So I want to hear you talk about that. But what is like the first step if their partner is like just really not on the same page or even worse, like doing these kind of self, like sabotaging things from their own conditioning?
Yeah. So I think the first place to start is to really understand what an outdated marriage looks like. And to understand that there is like a cultural system around marriage. And it like marriage has its own energy. Because I would even say that Jonathan and I were more, he gave me more space to do my thing and like be my wild and crazy self. And it was a different way at the time before we got married. And then something happened when I became Mrs. Brightboard that changed everything. And I don't think either of us really noticed. And a lot of the expectations I also put on myself in the beginning. So I think it's really important to look at, okay, what are my unspoken rules of marriage? And for me, before Jonathan and I really looked at our marriage, my unspoken rules were, I have to be the peacekeeper, that our relationship is based on raising children and being like financially stable. I am here to support Jonathan, what he wants to do. I can get all of like my wild and magical needs met outside of the house. You know, this is meant to be like a more like calm, traditional, do what's right for the kids sort of place.
Yeah.
And
like our parents.
Like our parents.
Like how we thought our parents.
So this is why understanding, why asking yourself the unspoken rules of marriage. Mm. Because what has happened is that we learned how to do marriage from our parents. And there's a really important thing about being in an outdated relationship is that you never talk about the relationship. Mm-hmm. You don't talk about it. You don't work on it. You don't say when something is wrong. Because if you say if something is wrong, then the other person is wrong and then you're going to get divorced. Mm-hmm. There's, you know, and so another rule is that if there's any problems, you're going to get divorced. Or like by no means ever get divorced is another rule of outdated marriage.
Yeah.
And so, and then our parents learned marriage from their parents and they never talked about it or upgraded anything. And they learned it from their parents. Like really, we have the same or very similar unspoken, unconscious marriage rules from like 200 years ago.
Even to the point where like the word therapy is considered like if you're having therapy, there must be some serious like serious issues.
Exactly.
You know, there's something wrong with you.
Right.
If you're having therapy.
Right.
Or, you know, there's something, there's, you've got issues, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
Whereas like now it's like, I mean, in the circles that we run in, it's like, why don't you have therapy?
Right.
Why aren't you? Like everyone really needs a therapist.
Yep.
You know?
Exactly. So it used to be, and this is more specific, I see this more in relationships where it's a man-woman relationship. Where we're stuck in these same gender roles, these mm-hmm. antiquated gender roles, where the man is just there to provide mm-hmm. and doesn't really have to do anything else. And so that isn't the case anymore. Women no longer need men to just be the provider. And so, and we also don't even need them to have children anymore. So what is it? Why choose marriage now? This was the question that Jonathan and I started asking each other. Why are we married? If I don't need you to make money and I can go off and do whatever I want, why are we choosing to stay together? And in my head, I'm like, because you're making me so freaking miserable all the time. Like, what's the point? And we realized that for us, and we really believe that this can be a way for a lot of people, that the modern rules of marriage is that we are there to support each other in becoming the fullest expression of who we both are. Mm. And that's it, period. And so we really started seeing our marriage as a sacred union and us being in devotion to each other's growth. And so when we are in devotion to each other's growth, not only are we supporting each other on our own paths, but we are really looking at our relationship. Mm-hmm. And so something that Jonathan and I always say in modern marriage is that the issue isn't the person you're married to. It's the marriage. It's the rules of the marriage. It's the belief system that has come with us never sitting down and upgrading this institution, mm. you know? And, you know, we believe in monogamy. That's what we are choosing to do. Like we believe in still a lot of the same rules of marriage, but we have to sit down and really look at why.
Yeah.
And so I think for women who are struggling with, they have to start there. What are the unspoken rules? And what is the new priority inside of my marriage? And then we have to look at how we've just been brainwashed to have very low standards for men. Mm. And I just think it really does everybody a disservice. So the first thing that I talk to women about is raising your standards and knowing what you deserve. Like you deserve to have a partner who will talk about his feelings.
Mm.
This is just like basic stuff now.
It is.
You know?
But it's not been taught.
But it's not been taught.
Men have not been raised that way.
Right.
So there's a lot of work still to be done.
Exactly.
Because a lot of people are in relationships with men that didn't learn how to do that.
Exactly.
And they're now learning as grown mm-hmm. adults. So it's like we're all remembering together.
Exactly.
And we're all helping each other.
And to normalize that with their partner, be like, it's okay that you don't know how to do this, but it's 2021, so we're going to start.
We're going to do it. Yeah.
We're going to do it now.
Yeah.
And we're going to do it together. And so that's why, you know, Jonathan really came alive in his own path when we started with marriage therapy, which is why we've created Modern Marriage for couples where most of the couples in the program, the woman is on a personal growth path and the husband is resistant. Mm-hmm. And so we use marriage as a place to start around how do we look at what's happening underneath the hood? How do we talk about feelings? What are your needs? What are your desires? How do we have healthy communication? And then we end with what is the path that each of you need to take to become the fullest expression of who you are? Mm. And then how can you each support each other in doing that? Mm.
That's so beautiful. Mm. And to do all that whilst raising kids as well,
yeah,
is a lot.
It's a lot.
Because, you know, another thing that I hear women say that are mums is my marriage is like, we just revolve our lives around the kids.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. And like our sex life is gone. Our yeah. romance is yeah. gone. Like, how do we prioritize mm-hmm. us yep. again?
Yeah.
Not just us as mom and dad.
Exactly. Yeah. So Jonathan and I really see that us working on our marriage is raising our children. Mm. That our primary objective is to model the type of relationship that we want our kids to have, you know, because we're each modeling, you know, depending on, you know, who our kids choose and if they choose to be in a long-term relationship, if Marshall chooses to be with a woman, even if he chooses to be with a man, like I'm modeling what it looks like to be a partner.
Yeah.
And so I think we've also been brainwashed to believe that our romantic relationship is unimportant in parenting. Mm. But if you want your kids to have a healthy romantic relationship, you have to have a healthy romantic relationship. Like just putting food on the table is not enough. It's just not, you know, if we really are wanting to raise conscious, you know, ambitious, confident humans, we have to be that too.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's the most important work there is, really. And,
yeah.
you know, everyone that's on any kind of spiritual personal development path is having to look back at their childhood.
Right.
Anyone that's ever dug into their trauma or sat in ceremony or, you know, been in therapy, it's all about, well, what were you going through in your childhood and what was modeled to you?
Right.
What did you learn from your mom?
Exactly.
What was your relationship like with your dad? What was their relationship like?
Right.
You know, like what was your dad's relationship like with other women? What was your mom's relationship like with other men? Like what did you pick up on
exactly.
as a child? Because there's so much that kids just absorb through what they're being modeled to. And most people didn't have like a healthy interdependent relationship model that we saw.
Yeah.
So I think it's like, it's really important and beautiful work that you're doing.
And thank you.
Yeah, it's a really good example for people. And it gives people a reason, like you said, a reason to actually be together and stay together and do this because women are so independent now.
Right.
We make our own money. We do our own thing. We don't need the provider role anymore. But what we need is like a soulmate, a companion,
exactly.
a partnership, a team.
Yeah. And for it to be fun.
Yeah.
You know, like this is something that Jonathan and I are really working on right now is like we want to be having so much fun with each other, having the best sex of our lives and just going on the most amazing dates, having incredible romance because we're really committed to spending our whole lives together. And I'm like, this is it.
Right.
Like here we are.
Yeah.
And
the time is now.
The time is now. And we have to consciously create that. It does not come naturally to us. Mm. I don't think it comes naturally to anybody.
No. Yeah. And it's so instinctive, I can imagine, as a mother to just put your kids first.
For sure.
Like straight away.
Yeah.
Hello, loves. I hope you are really enjoying this conversation so far. I just want to take a moment and tell you about our sponsor for this episode, which is Katori Life. The jewelry that you wear really makes a statement about who you are in your soul and in your body. I really believe that it has a way of showcasing your vibe and your spirit, the statement that you want to make. And it's really the last step that you take in order to really amp up your outfit for the day. And for me, wearing jewelry really helps me to
activate and embody my inner goddess. It really connects me to my past lives, my memories of different cultures that inspire the pieces that I wear. I don't choose the jewelry that I wear lightly, as I really do tend to live in my jewelry, and it plays such an integral role in how I show up for myself, how I show up for the world. So if you spot some jewels on me, you know that they've been really intentionally selected by me, from me, to me. And the jewelry that I am loving right now is from Katori Life. And this is a woman-owned, ethically made, socially responsible brand birthed in Santa Fe in New Mexico. Katori Life draw much of their inspiration from their rich cultural surroundings, with their designs and creations coming from a place of deep appreciation for the innate wildness within, not to mention their influence from mysticism, the natural world, and meditative spaces to connect in and sit with spirit. I know that I've got fellow wild women and mystics listening in right now, and I'm sure you are feeling called to head to Katori Life, just as I was. Now, the art of adornment is an ancient one. For thousands upon thousands of years, we have been placing objects of beauty and meaning on our bodies as an expression of our creative heritage. Katori Life was created to honor, nurture, and empower the soul of a woman and the soul of the earth. My favorite pieces which I'm wearing right now are the Ankh necklace and the Petra earrings, as they really feel like I'm wearing ancient codes from the Egyptian era every single time that I wear them. Putting on this jewelry, whether it be for a date night with my girlfriends, a mastermind call with my queens, or to prepare for a day of content creation, has become the last magical step in my getting ready ritual. Katori Life's pieces are made to inspire you to move through the world from an empowered place of your own personal authenticity and truth. They believe in living a harmonious, intuitive, inspired, and passionate lifestyle, in doing everything possible to work towards global healing and restoration while strengthening and remembering our awareness of the beauty and wonder of life. And do you know what's something that makes me love this brand even more? The fact that, along with having ethically sourced, high-quality materials in production, Katori Life's contractors and employees are paid above living wage, and 5% of all of their sales go towards supporting environmental restoration projects such as reforestation, ocean conservation, and soul regeneration. Okay, guys, now that you've fallen equally in love with Katori Life as I have, I'm sharing an exclusive discount just for you guys, because I love you, which is gonna bag you 25% off your first order. Woohoo! All you gotta do is use the code LOVESEXMAGIC at checkout, and you will be all set to begin adorning your journey with conscious jewelry today. So head to the link in the show notes and you'll be able to get your discount. Now back to the show.
So, like, what are some of the ways that you bring that passion, that romance into your love life, into your sex life? Mm. You know, is there a guilt that comes with that sometimes? Like, how do you prioritize that?
You know, there used to be a guilt, but I have just really seen how much better of a mother I am when I am feeling in love with my husband, and when we get away, mm-hmm. and when we go on dates, and like my kids really win when I am a whole woman. And so a lot, you know, the practice is, what's nice is that our youngest is now 3. And so we can leave her for a few nights, you know, here and there, which is so nice. And so we have cultivated a lot more freedom in our relationship. So, like, we've gone away twice just for a night in the past month, and we have 2 more on the calendar before, you know, in the next couple months. And we try to go on a date once a week. And then we also are really intentional about our evenings. Like, our kids go up into their rooms at 7 o'clock every night. You know, they're not falling asleep until later. You know, Marshall's now 7, so he just isn't falling asleep till 8:30. But we have time every night, and it's for us. Mm. And we really work on treating each other the best than anybody else in our lives, because we had this habit of, like, we would show up as our best selves with our friends or Jonathan at work or with our kids, but then like we would be each other's dumping ground for, and we just treat each other like shit. And so we've been really working on, you know, asking the other person if they can hold space for us to share. You know, we don't pretend that we're happy, but if we're sad, and I will just tell Jonathan what I'm sad about instead of being a bitch.
Right.
You know, and he'll just tell me what was actually hard at work instead of being snippy or aggressive with me.
Yeah.
And so it's little things like that that are making such a big difference. You know, we like each other. We enjoy each other's company. We're really attracted to each other. And it's just more fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. And I think that communication piece is so vital.
You know,
one of the things in my last relationship that we really started working on was calling out any passive aggression or like any like sign of resentment that was like brewing.
Totally.
We'd try and just voice it and nip it in the bud before it became like a thing.
Yeah.
Because I really have seen this, and I've seen it in my mom's relationships as I've lived my life and seen her in different relationships. It's like this undertone of like, I'm saying something, but what I really mean is this.
Right.
And I feel like that is so toxic.
It is.
And unfortunately,
it's really toxic.
It seems to be a pattern for women because we have not been able to be direct.
Exactly.
And have our voices heard.
Exactly.
So we have learned to do things in a different way and be very passive about it.
Yep.
But it's very cutting and it's very damaging
because
it's actually very disrespectful.
Yeah.
So that's something that I think if more people in their marriages and their relationships would just like communicate and actually say what they mean instead of saying what they, instead of like putting a different spin on it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I totally agree with you. It's really important.
Yeah. Yeah. So do you guys have like any communication practices that you guys do like every week? I know you have like a weekly date night. Do you have anything else that you can recommend for people?
We don't so much. The one thing that I feel like is wanting to be said right now is one thing that Jonathan and I have started to do is we will get together on the new moon and the full moon and do our intentions and share what we are releasing. And just being in like, so for us, again, like witnessing each other's dreams has been the most important thing because I think it helps us navigate those tricky communication issues when we really intimately know what's on each other's hearts. And, you know, the only other thing too that's really important is that Jonathan used to raise his voice at me quite a bit. And so that's the one we just have like a non-negotiable that like everything needs to be spoken in a calm voice. And for so long, I didn't know that it was okay for me to ask for that. And I think that's one thing that's so important for women to understand is that we are allowed to be treated with the utmost respect 100% of the time. And I work with a lot of women who are like, I just don't know how to convince my husband to like not raise his voice at me anymore. I'm like, well, you are, have you been so abundantly clear? And they're like, well, maybe not. They do the sort of passive aggressive, subversive sort of communication style. But that's been a really big thing in our relationship, just our tone.
Yeah. And having those boundaries in place.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Because it seems like in relationships, there's just these triggers and these kind of loops that people play out
totally.
Over and over again.
Yeah.
And it's hard to break
them. And Jonathan's also, we've been working a lot with masculine and feminine energy. And Jonathan's just getting a lot better of just holding the still point. And like, if I'll get a little spinny, he won't react to me. He'll just be very stable and say, hey, Sarah, you can't speak to me like that. And I'm like, oh. I'm so sorry. You're right. Instead of reacting to me and getting louder or coming at me with the same energy that I'm coming at with him. And that's been such a gift for him to hold the calm point so that I don't have to all the time.
And it feels like maybe he wouldn't be able to do this work inside of your marriage if he wasn't doing his own work on himself.
For sure.
You know?
Like, yes.
I think what's at the core of this mm-hmm. is like each person mm-hmm. is having a deeper self-awareness, a deeper understanding of themselves, mm-hmm. their triggers, mm-hmm. their wounds, their patterns. Otherwise, we're just projecting.
Exactly.
And we're just blaming. And we're yep. just, everything is about the partner or everything is their mm-hmm. fault.
Exactly. And he just really had to ask himself, what kind of man do I want to be? Mm-hmm. And what kind of life do I want to have? Not just about what Sarah wants or what Sarah's expectations are, but really, am I happy? And I think he realized that there were a lot of things that he wanted to do differently.
Mm, yeah. Beautiful. Mm. Well, what an incredible example that you guys are being for your kids.
Thank you.
So your kids are at a normal school, right? They're at a public school.
Yep.
But they're just what they're coming home and they're learning like all these sacred mm-hmm. rituals and practices. Mm-hmm. And then they're getting to come back into school and kind of infuse the two worlds, which I love. Because like you said, you're not like living on a community in Costa Rica doing like the homeschool thing.
Right, exactly.
You know, so... Yeah. They're really having these two worlds integrated.
Yeah. And I really feel like that's important, you know, and that's a really big part of my work with women is how can we bring this into your regular life? I don't want women to feel like they have to leave their life in order to have a spiritual practice or to have a spiritual home. And I hear a lot of women ask me about, well, are you worried about your kids getting made fun of in school? And I was like, that is the exact brainwashing that has kept us from having a sacred feminine practice for hundreds of years. And so we can no longer be trying to make our kids small in order to keep them safe. Like that patterning is over. Like we have to... I'm like, if your kid is getting made fun of for talking about the moon or saying she's a witch, you can either tell your child to keep that a secret or you can march your ass into that school and talk to the principal about bullying and how these kids cannot make your child feel wrong for having a slightly different belief system. Mm-hmm. You know, and I just want us as mothers to like feel that protective mother bear energy so that we can create this safety net around our children so that they feel safe to be different. Because a lot of us in our generation, we had to go through this whole time period of forgetting and then remembering, you know, when we became adults. And I don't want my kids to forget. I just want them to always be in it. Mm. And so we have to protect that really carefully.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we have the holidays coming up, Christmas season. Yeah. So like, can you inspire some of the mums listening in terms of like, what kind of things can they start doing in their home as the lead up to the Christmas season? Yeah. Is there like ways that you can bring more sacred ritual or the meaning of Christmas into your kids' lives?
Yeah, absolutely. So... You know, it's interesting. A lot of people feel like we've been raised to believe in major world religions that earth-based practices are a threat to major religions. But actually, earth-based practices are the foundation of religious practices. And earth-based practices are actually what unite a lot of the world religions. So we bring Christianity and Judaism together into our home with earth-based practices. And so with the winter holidays, the winter solstice is the longest night. And what my ancestors in Western Europe celebrated was they held vigil for the sun because it was as if the sun was dying. Mm. And then, so they would light candles all night. They'd stay up all night and they would burn the Yule log that they had blessed in ceremony from the year before. And then in the morning, it was a celebration of the sun coming back to life, of the sun being reborn. Mm-hmm. And so this is obviously sounding familiar because when people were writing the Bible, instead of Jesus was born in April, but they decided, oh, this is perfect. This will be a way that we can merge these earth-based practices with the Christian practices where the sun is reborn on Christmas. And so, and that happens, you know, just 4 days after solstice. So we, and in some families, they find that they just want to celebrate solstice, but we, you know, you can sort of look at it like the Christmas story either erased the solstice traditions or it was preserving them for us over this time so that we could remember them, you know, all like 2000 years later. And so we, and you know, you see it in the Advent calendar. It's all about candles. It's all about light. You know, when you celebrate Hanukkah, it's the miracle of light where they only had one bottle of oil to last one night in the temple that they were rebuilding. They were rebuilding their faith. But there was a miracle in that one canister of oil lasted eight nights instead of one. And so we, and then it's also, for me, it's my new year. And so that's where we're also celebrating. It's like the new moon of the year. So it's when we're setting intentions and I'm thinking about the year and it's this time of rebirth.
Yes.
And so one, ritual we do is we do, like a spiral walk, almost like a labyrinth. And so if it's snowing, I'll create this, I'll like shovel like a spiral. And what we do is we put a candle in an apple, and the apple represents like the feminine body. And we'll walk into the spiral and we'll think about what we are releasing from our year. And then with our candle, and then we'll say a prayer in the middle, and then we will walk out of the spiral and think about what we want to bring in to, oh wait, no, we do it a little differently. When we walk in, we think about the intention that we're setting for ourselves and we plant it in our heart. And then when we walk out, we set the intention of what we are wishing for the world. And then we put our candle somewhere along the spiral. And as everybody goes, all of a sudden the spiral is like lit by more and more candles and it shows like our collective community. And that's an ancient ceremony. And a lot of Waldorf communities will do that. That ritual. And it's just so beautiful. So we celebrate, you know, solstice in our house, and we have a gathering usually with some families in our local community. And I do a ceremony and I teach the kids about solstice, and I talk about the overlap between solstice and Christmas and Hanukkah. And it's fun. I've really loved, like, we don't go to church. I tried a bunch of different churches when my kids were little, but as a priestess, like I needed to have sacred feminine, a sacred feminine thread in my worship, and I just couldn't find anything. So we call it Earth Church in our house, but it's like home Sunday school. And so we will often invite families in. And so I've just taken it upon myself to educate, you know, our friends and our community about these practices, to have them be a part of it. And it's very rich and it's fun for me, because then our Christmas celebration, you know, we do with my family, and the Hanukkah celebration we do with Jonathan's. And so these earth-based practices have been like, has helped us create a little community for ourselves.
So beautiful. Yeah. And they're just so accessible for everyone, right?
It's, well, that's the thing.
It's the intention behind it.
And like so many, like the tree is a solstice symbol, the Christmas tree, like people were bringing Christmas trees into their house thousands of years before Jesus was born. So a lot of these things were borrowed. And I think it's so important to really make Christmas sacred again and to understand why we have these traditions.
Yeah. Wow. It's so beautiful. And like when we look at like what Christmas has become for a lot of families, it's the opposite of sacred.
Totally. You know? Very materialistic. And I mean, I love presents. My kids get way too many presents. But I think it's good to have a balance. Like so much of the theme that I feel like is coming up in this conversation is like, it's okay to have both. Like we don't have to not give our kids presents or not go to church or like not send our kids to public school. Like we get to have both.
Yes.
Like we don't have to leave our marriage in order to have a sacred union. Like I wouldn't in a million, like if I went back to my college self, like doing keg stands with Jonathan, like at a party on a Saturday night, like I would never believe that this is the type of relationship that we have now. But I've just kept telling myself, like, I get to have it all. I get to have both. Like, I get to be in this world and cultivate my own spiritual world within it. And it just doesn't have to be, like, so separate and complicated.
Yeah. I love that. We don't need to leave this world behind.
No.
We can integrate.
Integrate.
I love that so much. Yeah. Mm. You are so magic.
Oh,
and it's
thanks,
so inspiring to hear all this,
thank
honestly.
You.
Yeah. This is for me, listening as someone that really does desire to be a mom and mm-hmm. have a family, like this is exactly what I want to create.
Oh,
like this is my
so
dream.
Bad.
When someone asks me like what my dream is, this is it.
Oh,
really, honestly.
I'm so glad.
So thank you so much for modeling that.
Mm, you're so welcome. It's my pleasure.
So as we are in Love, Sex and Magic.
Yes.
One thing that you're loving right now.
I am loving, we're renovating our house. And so I have been a total interior design junkie, but it's like the best. but I'm really thinking about how can my whole home feel like a temple?
Yes.
And that's been really like, and again, it's merging like beautiful wallpaper with like sacred frequency and like really understanding that I can have some traditional design, but it's infused with this like sacred intention.
Oh, I love that so much. Yeah. Sacred spaces, like cultivating a sacred space is everything.
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 Yeah.
Something that turns you on.
Ah. You know, my body's been really turning me on recently.
Fuck yeah. This
and
is
like,
a great answer.
I mean, we didn't get into that, but like I have had like the longest, most tumultuous journey with my body.
Mm-hmm.
And when I went into the hospital in July, I really fell in love with my body again and realized how important she is to me. And so I've been on like a really deep health journey with my body. And I'm just so turned on by her.
Hell,
she's so great. Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
And the last time you experienced magic?
Oh, so beautiful. So I've been doing some money manifesting recently. And I had this belief system that I had to work really hard in order to make money. And I haven't been able to work very hard since being in the hospital in July. I just haven't had the energy, and it's one of been the, a really big lesson. But I really have been wanting to experience financial flow and abundance, and learn that I don't have to pair hard work with making great money. And we had two very unexpected large sums of money come in, just like.
Oh, yeah.
Like, no problem. When
wow.
I was like, it was like literally the day after I did this like whole money ceremony.
Mm.
And so that was just amazing. Like, thank you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
I love that. Beautiful.
Yeah.
So, where can everyone come and find you, Sarah, if they want to check out your programs, your membership, these practices, modern marriage? Like, tell people where to come.
So, you can get access to all of my program invitation pages at sarahjenks.com. And so, if you just go to the Work With Me page, like Modern Marriage is there, Whole Woman is there. I have a lot of sacred ceremonies coming up in the next couple months. So, that'll be really fun, both in person and online.
Beautiful.
And then you can also find me on Instagram at Sarah Jenks.
Fab. Well, we will link everything in the show notes.
Great. Thank you.
Sarah, thank you so much for coming on. It's been an absolute pleasure to
thank
have you.
Thank you for having me. It's such a treat. Thank you.
So if you loved that episode, please do share it. Share it on the gram. Tag me. Let me know what you thought. And of course, please do leave us a podcast review. It helps the podcast get to more people just like you who would absolutely love this information and insight. So once again, thank you so much for being a listener. I love you. I hope your life is filled with love, sex, and magic. And I will see you next week.